Could you elaborate for a moment on the longitudinal scattering? I mean, suppose the Higgs in these models turns out to be very, very standard model-like. Are there other sources of amplitudes that would still give high energy, bad high energy behavior for the longitudinal scattering?
You mean the first option here? So this final state, you
or the HH final state, either one.
Yeah, I think that so the my understanding is that this the HH in the scenarios can receive a so is more promising in that limit where you are closer to the standard model limit. But yes, of course, you will. The closer you are to the standard model limit, you are going to delay for you the onset of this growth. So I think if you go to that limit,
So for the real, you know, very close to the standard model-like limit, you don't expect any observable growth beyond.
Yeah. So so the way you reach in these models being close to the standard model limit is so it's through tuning by raising the Higgs decay constant to sufficiently high scales, and that brings all the resonances to high scales.
Right.
So in principle,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay. So there's no way of avoiding that. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
If you take a composite model which is not in the PGB category, but say a strongly coupled gauge theory close to the conformal window, like the two flavor sextet model I talked about, which is also a composite model, then you can calculate the longitudinal scattering from, you know, the well-known way, and you would expect, the cross sections to be stronger than in the standard scenario, because you will be close in the TV region to the cutoff region, to the resonance region. Those models predict a specific spectrum in the 2 TV range. So the pi-pi scattering will get stronger.
Yeah, but so that's in connection. But you're
that's
taking,
what Jack was
but so
asking.
You're also approaching the standard model Higgs like limit in those
well, you
are
close
deviations.
So the scenario would be that the scenario you didn't talk about would be that you are close to the conformal window. There's no fine tuning. You just happen to be there. We can argue whether this is fine tuning or not. You have a model. It has one parameter. It has a light scaler in it,
yes.
And it has resonances, vector resonances
in
the 2 TV.
How large are the deviations from standard model Higgs like properties?
You cannot calculate it because it's a two-stage process, just like everything else, that first you have the Higgs mechanism. It gives you a light scaler. Maybe it's not light enough to fit the mass, but it is light, say, I don't know, of the order of 1 or 2 vev. Around 1 vev, it looks 1 to 2 vev, and then before you turn on the fermion mass generation. So now, if you turn on the fermion mass generation, it's not going to affect very much the longitudinal scattering of the pions, you know, in the TV range, and you do expect it to be different from the standard model prediction.
Yeah, and I guess I understood the question as in the case where you make sure that it looks standard model-like, then what happens?
We'll get to Matthias in a moment, but I wanted to give another answer to Jack's question. I think it's very similar to what Julius just said. If you think about the real strong interactions, pi-pi scattering in the P wave, there's a prediction at low energy which agrees very well with current algebra, and that would be the analog of what would be predicted in the standard model for WW scattering. So essentially, if there's a light Higgs in this realization, you would saturate unitarity in the usual sense. But then if you go to higher energies, there's this enormous rho resonance. And so the difference here is that the resonance would be in the S wave rather than the P wave, so it would take some different kind of dynamics. And Julius, I guess what you're saying is that in one of these So is it that you know that in the models you're talking about there are large, strong S-wave resonances,
no,
or you just suspect it?
No, we don't know. So the tool set is there, but in this particular model, which looks like the closest to what we want, the calculation is still ongoing. So I don't claim anything, as a result yet.
But it's certainly a logical possibility,
yeah,
in this kind of model.
Very much so.
A strong effect. Not associated with a VEB, but just associated with some higher energy dynamics.
Okay.
So are there any estimates by anybody of how low down in mass these could be and still have a very standard model Higgs? Okay, but you still don't know how standard model like the light scalar is that right? Yeah, okay. So there might still be a contradiction or there might not be.
So let's move on to another question, Matthias.
Yes. So I was thinking the third question, pseudo number Goldstone versus sort of an elementary scalar or composite scalar. You know the answer much better, but presumably the Higgs self interactions would be a way to test this, right? Because the potential is really different. It's a highly non-trivial function. So if you were able to measure the trilinear and the quartic couplings, maybe at the,
Right.
Muon collider.
Yeah, I guess I'm sure there are handles. I'm wondering how.
Because I think almost everything else you can tune in a way that it looks very much alike, right? But this is something that is very generic, that potential is more complicated.
Matthias, I have a question for you. In the standard model, because of the light Higgs mass, the trilinear coupling, also the four-scalar coupling, is rather small. But maybe you know examples where the Higgs trilinear coupling is expected to be much larger than the standard model. So something that would be a 16 or 30% measurement in the standard model would be, it would just be striking in the models you're interested in. Do you know an example of a model like that?
Large deviations from the trilinear Higgs coupling.
Much larger.
Yeah. And the models like we studied, they are
much
smaller.
Much larger order one deviations.
So what kind of
model? These models with vector-like fermions, when you're using this, let's say, in the past, we were interested in the diphoton enhancement, this kind of thing. So they're strongly coupled to the Higgs sector. There can be order one deviations in the. I was thinking at the moment about electroweak symmetry, electroweak barogenesis. So you have one of these vector-like systems, two states. Take one of those much heavier than the other, a hierarchy, and they end up, so effectively at low scales, they end up inducing a dimension six operator that affects the trilinear coupling and of the Higgs. And the connection to electric barogenesis is such that those would be order one changes compared to the standard model.
I had a question on one of your introduction slides where you describe RS as a viable theory of flavor, and then you had almost in quotes. So if you could expand on those caveats, please.
Yeah, so the theory of flavor there is this anarchy picture, so the assumption that all the fundamental parameters in Lagrangian are of the same order. And so that works quite well, but not exactly. So we know there are still constraints, especially from CP-violating observables in the Kayon system. So that's that was an example of the almost. So that might still. So that means that this pure anarchy assumption is not completely viable. But you could imagine that different things. But one of them is just imagine that some of these CP phases that are relevant there are somewhat suppressed. And so it could be. So in my mind, and given that naively, as Joan was saying yesterday, when look at flavor constraints, CP violated constraints, and one infers a naive scale, which is much larger, 1,000 TeV, the fact that this can roughly live at closer to the TeV scale is quite impressive. But it doesn't quite do it unless you tune maybe some parameters. And then there are other options, like going away from this anarchy construction, this replay minimal flavor violation, then you can more easily deal with those.
So going to your fourth point there, no, distinguishing about distinguishing different models. So you are looking at these partial compositeness scenarios for having a strong dynamics, and then you can of course have, as you said, many different representations for the fermions. So can you say, because I think it was mentioned yesterday that there, you know, how large the deviations could be in things that we can actually measure in the Higgs sector. So which are the orders, percentage level that one could hope to measure and distinguish? If you think about different fermion representations?
Well, roughly speaking, the deviations you expect in this, let's say, in the PNGB cases are of order V squared over F squared. So that can be tens of a percent. In terms of, so the different fermion representations, yeah, I guess, so I don't have a simple intuition, but as you know, so I, for instance, one thing that can also happen are deviations in the couplings of Higgs to BB bar, which typically is a suppression. And so that's important, of course, because it's the dominant Higgs decay mode, so it can affect the total width and can affect many other, all the other branching fractions. I have observed that it can be quite sensitive to the type of representations you're using. But still, again, we're talking about the like between 10, 20, 30% deviations. Yeah, depending on, maybe in some cases I have looked into maybe the difference between classes could be at this 20% level that maybe, okay. But yeah, there are all other closer scenarios that, of course, maybe percent level where you would need to go into an ILC or something.
And maybe on the same point, I mean, of course, when you look at the loop processes, it usually matters a lot what you do with the fermion
yes,
representations
absolutely.
Because, you know,
yes.
The larger the groups, the more stuff you have, and you see it the first time indirectly. I think the problem is as long as the effect would be indirect, you can always compensate for it by increasing the new physics scale. So this of course, is a generic problem that, you know,
yes.
Really to address all these issues up there, you have to eventually produce some of the new particles. But the difference, for instance, between the custodial model and non-custodial models can really be factors of, I think factors of three even on things like Higgs to gamma gamma, so it's a dramatic effect, but.
Right.
So, slightly different question. This is a question about fine tuning. So, I mean, in the MSSM, one can formally write a formula for mz squared in terms of a whole bunch of things on the right-hand side, which are related to MSSM parameters, and then discuss fine-tuning measures. And one can make arguments about, well, CMSSM looks pretty bad, maybe we should be doing NMSSM or whatever. Seems it might be pointing you in a certain direction in model space. So let me ask you the same question about the whole suite of models that you've been introducing here. Is there a similar fine-tuning measure that you can think about, and does it point you in certain directions in model space over others?
Yeah, there is something. So it's certainly you can also use naturalist arguments to say something about this. It's a bit more subtle than in the MSSM. So one thing is, so as you say, in the MSSM you just have a three-level formula which is very simple, and you can learn something from that. Here, Higgs potential is induced at loop level. So it's Coleman-Weinberg potential, so it's a complicated object. One can nevertheless look at it in some limits where things simplify. And so one of the lessons in supersymmetry is that if you want a natural theory, you want sufficiently light stops. Here, there is a similar conclusion having to do with top partners. But it is, so the reason is not quite the one in the MSSM. So in the MSSM, it's just directly the connection to the quadratic divergence. Here, the quadratic divergences of the Higgs parameters are being cut off at the scale of the at lambda, the scale of the resonances. Very often these top partners can be parametrically lighter than that, and that has an effect in fine-tuning in the sense that the lighter ones. So as I was saying, the physical states are admixtures of the original elementary state and some of these resonances. So the most important ones will be the lightest ones. And so those mixing angles will depend on some coupling between the two. And the admixture is proportional to that coefficient divided by the mass of the heavy state. But that combination is also connected to the mass of the standard model fermion, which is fixed. So if you make these top partners lighter while keeping the fermion mass fixed, you have to decrease this mixing. And that has an impact on but these couplings are the ones that enter in the Higgs potential. So there is a connection even though the quadratic divergences are cut off at the lambda, the presence of these lighter states can be important, for instance, in the Higgs mass. Actually, it's more the argument that yes. 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 Yeah. So here, what you were asking, a simple formula. So there are some relations, some correlations, which are relatively simple between, let's say. So I'm focused on the top sector as the most important one, even though I agree that the gauge sector is also should be taken into account, and the Higgs mass. In general, it's a complicated. So what you do, when I mention things with a 10% or 1% tuning, what I'm talking about there is doing the exercise of a complete logarithmic derivative and sensitivity, and that's what you get.
Well, I guess in the end, I'm trying to get a feel for whether you think these models are, whether constraints from LHC, from not having found top partners, not having found resonances yet, is that imposing similar constraints on naturalness parameters in these models as it seems to be doing in
my feeling
supersymmetric will go, models or not?
My feeling is that that is not as bad as in the MSSM. And the difference is in the MSSM you start from a light three-level Higgs mass, and you want to increase it the way it is. It's sort of the other way around. You tend to start with a
sure.
with a heavier Higgs, and you have to arrange things to go down. And okay, let's say from playing with things, and so this is not exhaustive, but my feeling, as I said, I have seen examples with just a 10% tuning, although.
Right, but in the MSSM, the naturalness tension is partly due to the Higgs mass being as large as it is, but it's not the whole story. I mean, there are other parameters which are also relevant to this discussion, which have slightly less of an impact on the actual radiatively corrected Higgs mass.
Yeah.
So that's why you sort of have to look at both simultaneously to really appreciate the impact of the non-discovery of supersymmetry at this point.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to get a similar feel in these models.
No, I mean, certainly, not having seen these resonances impose a lower bound on the resonance scale, therefore on the Higgs decay constant, and that affects the degree of tuning that you have. So I mean, qualitatively, it's the same as in SUSY. My feeling is that in the SUSY form, the MSSM is a bit worse.
So this is a really important point, and I'd like to continue it a little. And it's a point that I have a lot of trouble understanding. But could you go back to the slide with the epsilon squared epsilon to the fourth? Yeah. So let me tell you what I thought is the essence of this, and maybe you can correct my misconception. So what you're trying to do is get a small value of epsilon, that is, a small Higgs VEV relative to the F. And this is the analog of what Howie was saying about the constraint on MZ. It's basically the small Higgs VEV. So basically, there are two strategies for doing that. One is that you generate the entire Higgs potential in, let's say, the first order of perturbation theory, a la Coleman-Weinberg. But then you have a cancellation in the epsilon squared coefficient, which is what you indicate on this slide. Then that cancellation looks like a fine-tuning. But due to that fine-tuning, you can arrange that H over F is small. And that way, it's very similar to the numbers you get are similar to the situation in supersymmetry. And there are people who say that these kinds of models have to be more fine-tuned than supersymmetry, giving an argument like this, if I understand it correctly. On the other hand, you could arrange, and this is what was done in the original Little Higgs papers. They didn't arrange it, they just assumed it. But the strategy is to get an order alpha coefficient in front of the epsilon to the fourth, and an order alpha squared coefficient in front of the epsilon squared. And then you, quote, naturally get a large Higgs VEV. And these are two distinct types of models with two different answers to this question. Okay, that's my limited understanding, but maybe people here who are experts should tell me what I got wrong and what I got right. Please.
So first I'd say, in general, the story that you tell certainly is the story that the Little Higgs literature would say, that getting that epsilon squared term to be small, if you don't have some symmetry or other dynamics, is a fine-tuning between various effects, in this particular case, gauge effects and top effects. And so in a Little Higgs theory, you have some kind of symmetry reason for expecting that epsilon squared term to be small. The price that you pay for having done that is that you are required to have more symmetry structure, and that symmetry structure then comes with its own set of baggage. You need additional degrees of freedom. You need to worry much more about things like custodial symmetry. And there's this annoying tension between the dynamics necessary to get that epsilon squared term, that you need to have top partners and gauge partners with certain properties. And unfortunately, those certain properties are such that you end up seeing a different form of the tuning. That is, the strongest constraints come on gauge partners, so the gauge partners get pulled up, but then the structure of the theory wants to drag the top partners up along for the ride, and so the fine tuning is reintroduced. But I would say that this issue of epsilon squared versus epsilon to the fourth is a version of tuning.
But what's interesting is that it's possible that the best situation can occur, that you have a very complicated structure, but all the masses are multi-TeV. So we wouldn't have seen them yet, and we'll see them before 2020.
Sorry, how is that consistent, but still tuned? That I don't know how you get into a situation where you push all the stuff very, very heavy, but don't have to do some kind of adjustment to make sure that epsilon stays small.
So I guess the question is whether there could be a symmetry reason why the epsilon squared is generated at a higher order of perturbation theory than the epsilon to the fourth. That's the question.
Right, but in the little Higgs solution to that, you can work really hard to do that. But then you find still, as you start pushing stuff heavier, just logarithmic corrections then start to even those two terms out.
So another way of asking this tuning question is, as you said, LHC is sort of on the edge to directly produce these partners. So how much motivation is there to, for example, double the energy of the LHC or to do 10 times the luminosity of the LHC? Does it really get you into the fat part of the parameter space for these warp models, or you can still just shove it all up another factor too? Yeah, so it's a matter of taste. But for Susie, I think we've sort of converged on an answer that if you don't see it with 300 inverse femtobarns at 14 TeV, we should all go home. So it wasn't said by me. I think even Nima would agree, right? If you don't see the Luino, we should go home. Yeah. I was taking him.
Joe, that's the question for tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, we'll defer that question. So I understand it's a matter of taste, but I'm asking for your own taste.
No, I mean, I haven't tasted that. I think I want to know what is there. So if it's factor of two, yes, you will lose something in aesthetics, but I could still be the story, right? So I could live with that. Yeah.
So I can twist that same argument a little different way. So we know the ways to, you know, the innocuous things to do to SUSY to completely hide the natural SUSY from the current LHC result. So what's the phenomenology for hiding this type of stuff, right? And how?
If you were at the sufficient, right now it's hidden because it's heavy. I mean, we knew it was heavy from electrode precision tests, and also, as I mentioned, it's hard to produce because the coupling to quarks first generations is about 1/5 of the usual, let's say, strong coupling. So, and right now that would be the answer.
Yeah, I mean something of that sort.
That. That is, I don't know. I don't see it, but I haven't. But yeah, mm-hmm. I.
Right. But in terms of thinking of what high luminosity for LHC buys you, right? We know what it buys you for stealthy SUSY scenarios. Is there, you know, is the mass the only thing here, right? So if the mass is the only thing, that if you don't see it in the beginning of the 14 TeV run, you give up. Exactly.
Yeah. My impression that in these scenarios, if you don't see anything at the end of LHC, still you would not be so uncomfortable that these scenarios could be okay. You know? That is my personal opinion. So
I don't know. I think I will. It's just my personal opinion that with SUSE I will feel more uncomfortable with this than with these scenarios. But maybe the issue of how you tune this H over F, so sine H over FH to be below 0.3 or so, that goes together with how you solve the Higgs potential, and you know, I would be less uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's probably also because we started from
already from much higher level. Starting point. You are not expecting to see anything now, so that's okay.
I would like to return to the other scenario because I am very much interested in input and opinion from this group, which is not working on the lattice. To work on the lattice is very hard. And that's probably one of the reasons why you like not to touch the nearly conformal strongly coupled gauge theory scenario, because you have to solve it non-perturbatively. But there, all those issues you discuss here, very interesting, and I like the PNGB scenario, you are working up from zero to get to the Higgs. In the other scenarios, you have a light Higgs. You don't know how light it is because it depends on your position relative to the conformal window. You can try to tune it, but that's another issue. Can you really tune yourself arbitrarily close to the conformal window, and what do you expect in that limit? But let's assume that you are close to it. So you have that sextet model-like scenario. It's very difficult to hide it because you know, you will have a light mass for the Higgs, which you hope is at the right value once you turn on the top loop. That's a sort of a tuning issue. And then you have the resonances, and you have only one gauge coupling, which sets everything, because that gauge coupling is related to the web. So either you have those resonances up there in the right region with large enough cross-sections for LHC 14, or you don't. So there's not much one can do there about the hiding in concrete models. If I just talk generalities, then you know, anything can happen.
Okay. So I have a very naive question related to how to distinguish models. Also related to Yuri's talk yesterday, he asked how precise we need to know about the Higgs couplings. So it motivates a Higgs factory, right? We need to, like, naively, generically, we need a sub-percent level of precision on the Higgs couplings. On the other hand, if I, you know, go to the web page of Higgs cross-section working group, looking at the uncertainties of Higgs branching fractions, for all the modes is like 5% or so. So actually, if I do a 9-parameter fit for the Higgs factory at ILC, right, the precision I achieve is actually better than the theoretical uncertainties, which is listed in on a Higgs cross-section working group. That means if in the future we don't see anything else, the only thing we rely on is our knowledge about the Higgs couplings, and we have an ILC give us very good result. When we want to interpret it theoretically, we have to fold into the theoretical uncertainties. So the theoretical uncertainties now becomes will become a limiting factor. So how much improvement should we expect by then of on the theoretical uncertainty side? And what are the limiting factors? Well, maybe some people can answer this.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment on that, which is so in order to believe that these Randall-Sundrum models, for instance, are good effective field theories, you need to believe that you can really integrate out heavy states. So the limit in which composite theories are well described by five-dimensional theories is a very particular limit of large N and operators, a gap in the spectrum of operator dimensions. Most strong coupling theories are not in that limit. And in fact, I had a paper with Lian Tao a few years ago where we sort of surveyed all the known constructions of EDS-like theories and found that none of them are really in a good limit where you can have much control over these corrections. I think I actually have stronger reasons for believing that now, but not yet strong enough to have written a paper trying to argue it. But generically, I think the scale of higher dimension operators in these theories is quite low. And so it's very hard to get theoretical control. We sort of already knew that from the 4D strong dynamic side. Unless you can do lattice calculations, you don't have much control. But I think even in the 5D theories, there are good reasons to think the same is true. So it's very hard to make extremely precise predictions. You can make a lot of qualitative predictions, but you're not going to get sharp answers in a strong coupling theory.
Okay, of course, the theoretical uncertainty depends on your models. No, what I'm asking is actually a simpler question. What we want to know if there's new physics according to this Higgs coupling lamppost is if the coupling deviation we measured is different from Higgs, a standard model Higgs prediction or not. The problem now is the standard model Higgs prediction now has uncertainty larger than that one you can achieve by doing the parameter fittings at the ILC. So that's a limiting factor, and we need to improve that prediction. I'm wondering how much improvement we can expect, because this is a simpler task, which is whether we can exclude the standard model, pure standard model case, according to marrying different couplings of the standard model Higgs or not. This depends on your knowledge about the precision of standard model predictions and how much improvement we can get.
So, just a comment, but the theoretical uncertainty in standard model Higgs couplings really depends on the process. So the theoretical uncertainty on the coupling of the Higgs to the Z is not 5%. And so you can measure that at something like the ILC. And as we saw this morning, there was, for both sorts of minimal composite Higgs models, there was a rescaling for both of them that's the same for the coupling to the Z. So I would be much more optimistic. You know, I wouldn't think about numbers like 5% when it comes to comparing these sorts of models to the standard model. The theoretical uncertainties on some observables are much, much smaller than that.
Okay, well, it's noon, it's the end of the session. There's one more question, I hope you don't mind, that I'd like to ask. And maybe we can't completely answer it now, but it's something that we can continue to think about. In terms of flavor, you pose two different alternatives. One, which is anarchy with relatively large KK masses or large compositeness scale. And the other is something where you have symmetries that lead to something like MFV with a relatively low scale. The question is,
I said with a low scaleness, I mean, because you still have a constraint from the S parameter. Yeah. But
the question is, are there flavor anomalies that could be discovered that would tell you it has to be anarchy because it's not compatible with the MFV scenario? Maybe there's some expert in the room who knows the answer to this question.
I mean, there are certain correlations and things like B sub S to mu plus mu minus, B sub D to mu plus mu minus, K to pi nu nu bar, which in MFV you have very strong correlations that in anarchy you don't. I mean, there are examples really in these two-dimensional plots where you say if you're not on the line, it's not MFV. Then of course you can do next to MFV and you can deform it. But I would also maybe not over, I mean, it's really a little bit of a question, you know, when you feel tuning is really problematic. I mean, this in the flavor sector, really the only thing that isn't bang on is the epsilon K. And if you want it absolutely natural, you need KK masses of order 20 TeV. And if you want to have them a factor 4 lower, you have to start doing 10% fine tuning. So I mean, you know, if you're willing to say that you tune the phase of an unknown coupling to 10%, this constraint is gone. So I think it is an important constraint, but it's not that it's one number, and it's not that you need a 6 orders of magnitude fine tuning.
If the phase is 10 degrees, you're saying.
You need a sort of few percent fine tuning if you want KK scales of order really couple of TeV. If you push them to the 10 TeV, I would say the problem is solved basically. So. Okay.
Okay. So, I think it's time for the lunch break. So let's thank Eduardo.
So we come back at 1 for the next session.